that will be enlightening and be uplifting, and that each and every one of us will take his word into our hearts and measure ourselves. You know, there's no reason for us to look at somebody else when we need to first look at ourselves and see where we're at with God and see what we can do to make our life so much better. In the book of Luke, in the 14th chapter, go with me if you would down, starting at verse 16, reading down through and including verse 24 this morning. Verse 16, he says, he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And he said in verse 23, and the Lord said unto that servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And we stop reading there this morning. And I'd like to bring to you a message today entitled, Too Many Excuses. Too Many Excuses. How many of us have ever made an excuse? I don't believe some of you heard me this morning. How many of us has ever made an excuse? Amen. If we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that there was a notice that a supper was going to come. You see, he said he made a great supper and bade many. There was forewarning, if you'll have it, that this supper was coming. It was coming, and when it came, many began to make excuses. And the Bible tells us that there have always been people that have made excuses, going all the way back to the book of beginnings in Genesis. Even Adam and Eve brought the first excuse. You remember after they were beguiled by the serpent, you remember that Adam made an excuse that it was Eve's fault. And Eve said it was the serpent's fault. And then Adam even said, Lord, it's your fault. You're the one who gave this woman to me. We know throughout the Scriptures there's been excuse after excuse after excuse that's been offered up. But today, I remember a saying when I was growing up that said that people have more excuses than Carter's got liver pills. How many of you ever heard that today? What he was saying is that we've got an excuse for everything. We've got excuses that the devil often gives us an excuse for not doing something or for doing something. But here we see that the Bible tells us that at this supper that they began one after another to make excuse. And I remember another saying that their excuses wouldn't hold water. When we look at these, we see that the first one said, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. How many folks would buy a piece of ground without first going and seeing it? It's a lame excuse, is it not? And then the second one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go and prove them. How many would buy that day five yoke. I wouldn't even buy one. He bought five yoke of oxen and didn't know if they would plow or not. Didn't know if they'd work or not. And maybe they was already over the hill and wasn't worth being bought. But he said, I bought these five yoke and I need to go prove them. And another said, I've married a wife and I cannot come. Didn't say how long they'd been married. Didn't say that he couldn't bring her to the supper with him. Or maybe she just put her foot down and said, you can't go. We don't know what the excuse or reason why that he offered all these excuses up. But today people always have an excuse. We live in a time where there are more excuses being offered each and every day. Here, it gives us an example of how Israel was first offered the gospel and they rejected it. And then it came to the Gentiles. We ought to thank God this morning that the Jews rejected it and God made it so that we could have part in the great plan of salvation. When we see what happened, that the Jews rejected it and Israel rejected it and made it part that where we could be invited, that we was not the first choice, but we was not an afterthought neither. Because God knew from the beginning that Israel would reject him and would be the one that would offer up even more excuses down through time. When we see what all happened here, the Lord got mad after it was done, and all these people began to make excuse after excuse. I wonder how mad God must get at listening to our excuses. Day after day, week after week, maybe even hour after hour, we make an excuse. And how God must look down in anger. I know when I hear some of the news reports and things that's going on in our country and around the world, I get angry. Anybody else this morning? And I know it must make God angry. Because we got all kinds of people making excuses. The excuses for not accepting God as their Lord and Savior. The excuse for not being in the house of God. The excuse that it just doesn't fit in with my lifestyle, the way that they preach and teach. The excuse that someday I plan to get right, but today is just not that day. And we all, I believe, pretty much agreed. We've all made excuses along life's journey, have we not? Some of us may have even made some this past week. And I think we got some at the house this morning that have made some excuses today. And the devil offers all of us an excuse. How many times do we have to say, get behind me, Satan? Sometimes, Ray, we have to say, Satan, leave us alone. I don't need an excuse. I need to put my words into action. We say how I love Jesus. And then people offer up an excuse not to be found in his house or to be living for him and working for him. So he got mad and he told his servants, he said, go out into the streets and the lane of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. If we go back to Matthew in the 11th chapter, we'll read where John said unto his disciples when he was in prison, he said, you go and ask Jesus, is he the one to come or do we look for another? And many of the same ones that are mentioned here, John got the answer back because the Lord told him, he said, you tell him that the The blind receive their sight. The deaf ear is opened up and the lame legs are made to walk. And he said, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. When we look at this passage of scripture, we see that these were those people that others did not want to be around. They were the ones that was excluded. I'm thankful today that God made me part of His great plan of salvation. I was not in the original number. I was one of those that was poor. I was halt, I was maimed, and I was blind. But praise God, Wayne, when the gospel came around, it made me part of God's big family. The devil could not give me enough excuses to keep me away from knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. When we see what happened, that he went out to these that were excluded. People didn't want to be around him. And even the Gentiles offered up excuse. Because it says in verse 22, after they all came in, there was still more room. Can I preach this morning? There is always room in the house of God. I don't care what condition they come in. Some folks would say, well, we ought to be selective on who we allow into the house of God. God did not exempt anybody. He said, come unto me all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some we say, well, they ought to get their life straightened up before they come. Every one of us come in broken. We was broken. But praise God, when we looked around us, you know what we saw? A bunch of other people that was broken. How many of you did God take your brokenness and put you back together and make you a fit subject for the kingdom of God? No excuse offered up. He took us just as we were. People say that God won't save this one or God won't save that one. The Bible teaches us that God will save all who have not sinned away their days of grace or been turned over to a hardness of heart and a reprobate mind. You say, does that mean even these that are out in this world committing these gross sins? Folks, in the eyes of God, all sin is sin. And He wants to save all people from their sins. There is still room. And then He told them in the next verse, He said, since there is more room, you go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Because there is room for all, Brother Ron. Highways and hedges in the Bible represented that place where the thieves and the robbers and the outcasts were. If you remember on the road to Jericho, it was a narrow passage been in the mountains. And that's where the thieves and the robbers were. That's why it was a way of death, because many of them would lose their life as they went down that road. This just goes to show us today that there is no sin except for the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that God will not save our people from. And it ought to make us want to rejoice on a Sunday morning, knowing that there is no sin that our God will not forgive today. How many of you have been forgiven by the grace of God? And we cannot look at anybody else and say we are better than them. All we are is a bunch of broken sinners that God gave us life everlasting and saved our dying soul. He said, compel them to come in. That word compel means to persuade or tell them about the necessity or to entreat them. And some of us say, well, I've tried and tried and tried to get my lost people in before it's too late. Folks, we need to compel them to come in. We can't make them come in. And we would first think that word compel means that we try everything within our power to try to get them into the house of the Lord. But you know, even God won't make them come. You know what God uses? He uses truth, exhortation, reproof, instruction, long-suffering. He uses love and meekness, gentleness and perseverance, and anything that within His power, He tries to persuade our people to come into His house that they might hear His word. I've even tried in the past when He said to persuade or entreat them. I've tried in the past telling people, if you'll go to church with us, I'll even buy your lunch. You know, because some people, you tell them to go buy their lunch, they would be entreated to go to the house of the Lord. There's no cost that we ought to bear trying to get our people in to the house of the Lord. I'm not saying, when I say cost, I'm not talking about money. But you look what God does. He shows them love and compassion. You know, we can't speak to them with a harsh tone or with threats. We have to speak with love and compassion to get them out to the house of the Lord. God never uses force. Even when we're under conviction, God won't make us accept Him as our Lord and Savior. I came on my own to the altar and prayed. Didn't you? I didn't have the church, the deacons, or the preacher to come back and escort me to the altar. I had someone greater than them. I had the Holy Spirit walking every step of the way. We offer so many excuses. We say, I'll get around to it someday. There's always tomorrow, next week, next month. We say, let somebody else do it. How many of us, even as children of God, offer up excuses? Right? How many of you, Lloyd made mention of this in Sunday school. How many of you come to church and God puts something on your heart and you'll say, let somebody else sing our song. Let somebody else testify. We also use the excuse, I've got plenty of time. None of us know how much time we have left. If we're going to work for God, we need to start today. Because this might just be the last day that we get to work for Him. Our time is running out. And we need to be doing what God has told us and called us to do. Many of us use the excuse, I don't have time right now. How many people you talk to that say, I've got so many things going on in my life, I just don't have time right now to go to church. Let me tell you this morning that anything that we put ahead of God is an excuse. And it will not hold up. You remember they said unto the Lord, they said that they would say unto Him, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And have we not cast out demons in Thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in Thy name? See, that's excuses today. And God would say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. The Bible teaches us, and we know this morning, that He told them that there was still room, go out and get them in. And He said this, those that were first invited will not taste of my supper. How many of you know there's coming a day that we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb? And many that were invited won't be there. Those that were first invited won't be there because they offered up excuse. And some of my family, some of your family, some of our friends and neighbors will not be there because they rejected by excuses the invitation to go. And you have an invitation to go. In fact, it's a manifold invitation to everyone that God has invited all of us. But so many have excuse after excuse as to why they will not go. God laid this upon my heart, and I want to share it with you this morning. For the saved and lost alike, about the excuses that we make. And I've got 10 reasons why we make excuses. And if you can't say amen, say, Lord, help me. Because we need it today. We make excuses when we don't want to do something. Amen. Some of you are afraid to say amen because your spouse or your family is sitting close by you. But it's true. We make excuses when we don't want to do something. Or we make an excuse when something else is more important to us. So I ain't heard anybody say, Lord, help me yet. When we make an excuse when we do not see the necessity of what's before us. You know, a lot of my friends and a lot of your friends and neighbors say, why do I need to get saved? Why do I need to go to church? They don't see the necessity of it. But you know and I know today that this is where God is at. And this is where they need to be at to get their lives put back together. And get God in the center of their homes and their lives. When we don't see the necessity of what's being offered. People don't understand, Brother Jim, that God is offering to them eternal salvation. And the excuse is being offered up because the world is teaching that everybody's going to heaven. The Bible says only the redeemed are going to heaven. So they don't see a necessity for it. Or they don't see the necessity of what's being requested or asked for. They just go about their merry way and they don't understand these things. I believe if you look at the signs of the time and the world we're living in today, folks, it is more important right now at this time in this world that people need to get to God and get their lives right. Because the next sound we hear could be the sound of the trumpet declaring that time shall be no more. Some people offer up excuses just to have a reason. Just to have a reason. And then others offer up an excuse when they'd rather be somewhere else. Look at our ball fields. Look at our stadiums. Sports and entertainment has taken over our people's lives. They don't have time for church. We offer up an excuse when we'd rather be doing something else. How many people are out on the golf courses and in the lakes and the rivers instead of being in the house of the Lord? And we offer up excuses when we'd rather be with someone else. The devil will entertain you. The devil will give you a reason to go everywhere else except to the house of God. And then we offer up an excuse when we think something is too difficult. How many of us can apply these to our Christian life this morning? And to our physical life, right? Becky asked me to do something and I'd rather be doing something else. I'll offer up an excuse. I confess. Anybody else want to confess this morning? Don't be backward. Right? Or if I think something else is more important at that time, I'll offer up an excuse. I'm telling myself, and I'm going to get in trouble. No, I've already got in trouble. I'm just explaining why. Right? We offer up more excuses for lame reasons than any time that I've ever seen in my life. The Bible teaches us that these offered up excuses. How many of us will think that none of these excuses that was offered up in the scripture reading this morning is really that important? Right? How many of us today have offered up excuses for not being in church or not doing God's will, and we look back on them and we say, my, that was a pretty poor excuse. Somebody hurt my feelings. So what? They hurt our Lord's feelings too. But that didn't stop him from taking another step up Calvary's hill to pay for your sins and mine. People say, well, I'd like to be part of it, but they just don't sing the way that I like for it to be sung, or they don't preach the way I like for it to be preached. You know, people have excuse for not going to the old-fashioned type of churches. They don't want the emotions, but yet they go to a place where the devil plays on their emotions. Right? Lloyd said in Sunday school this morning, the devil's got a spirit just like God's got a spirit. The devil will offer up all kinds of things, and people seem not to offer the devil any excuses, but they'll offer God all kinds of them. When we look at this scripture reading this morning, we see that it's excuse after excuse that people offer up. And they're really not good. I ask you, as I come to a close on this Sunday morning, what kind of excuse have you offered up to God? What excuses have you used? And I'm not going back years. I think we have to look at the most recent time frame. I've said this many times over the years, and I've tried my best to live by it. And I know there's people that's sick, don't get me wrong. But we sometimes wake up and the devil will give us an excuse, you're too sick to go to church. And this has been my rule that I try to use for many years. I ask myself when I think I'm too sick to go to church, would I go to work? Oh, some of you, you'll get a sour face now. Because if I would go to work, then I ought to go to church. Oh, I got a couple amens on that, Mark. Because, you know, we don't like to miss work. Because, you know what it'll do? It'll affect our pocketbook. Well, when we miss church, it affects our pocketbook. Because all of our blessings come from God. Every one of them this morning. We say, well, I can offer up an excuse. And you know what? This is terrible to say, but it's true. We'll offer up an excuse and somebody else will pat us on the back and say, poor you. When we really know it wasn't that bad. Right? We do it for compassion. These that offered up excuse did not get to taste of the marriage supper or the supper that was there. This morning, as we come to a close, I want you to look at your excuses that you offer up to God for not getting your life right. The reason that you're, that, and a lot of time, the reason is nothing more than an excuse. Those words, I think, can be used interchangeably. Because some people say, Roger, it's not an excuse, it's a reason. I have a reason for not doing this. In fact, it's not an excuse. It is a fact. But you know, the devil will always give you an excuse. You don't have to look hard. In fact, he'll come to you and offer you all kinds to select from. Right? The kid's not feeling good just because they got a runny nose. Right? Or they didn't get enough sleep last night. A lot of people will offer up, I got an amen. Even children will amen that one. Some don't go to church because they say that they don't want to have to feel like they're being judged. You know what that is? That's condemnation. When you know God is speaking to you and condemnation comes in, You know that there are things that's wrong in your life that you need to get straightened up. And instead of offering up an excuse, you know, we could be like Adam and Eve. The reason why I did it is because somebody else made me do it. Nobody can make you do anything that you don't want to do. Not even the devil. Right? So I ask you on this Sunday morning while Rob gets us a song of invitation. I want you to look at your life and see that those excuses that you've offered up, you know, you can't blame anybody else for where you're at except for yourself. You know, I said this many years ago, and I said it probably recently, but many years ago, Flip Wilson always used to say, "The devil made me do it." No, the devil gave you an excuse and you took it. You took it. The only excuse we have today is no excuse. No reason not to do what God is laying upon our heart. You say, "Well, God, will he chastise me?" What you're feeling today is an invitation to come and get right with him. I believe excuses to a child of God does bring chastisement because it takes us away from God. And to those that are lost and undone, your excuses are going to lead you down to a devil's hell for all eternity. What you need to do is quit making excuses and just step out and say, "Yes, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior." Would you do that this morning while we stand to our feet and they sing a verse of a song? I ask you, put aside your excuse or excuses and say yes to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Follow your heart. Follow your heart today. No excuse will stand. You see, God knows the facts about you. He knows your very thought and the intentions of your heart. It's your choice. And even while God is dealing with your heart, Satan will give you an excuse. He'll tell you about things that you need to do. Things you've never done, or things that you still need to contemplate before you make such a rash decision. I say, trust God. God will not lead you wrong. He'll give you a purpose, give you what you need to be able to say no to the devil and yes to God. Would you follow your heart this morning? Yes. Jesus can help you. While Rob and Sharon get ready to sing us one more verse, I want you to look at the reason or the excuse that the devil is giving you right now and say to yourself, question yourself, is this really something that I want in my life, or is it just something the devil is offering that has that luster to it? How many of us know the devil is a liar and the truth is not in him? You know, he'll tell you that you got a bright future out there. You got better days coming. He'll tell you that what give you goals and things that you've never even thought about. To some, he'll say, wait until you really lived before you get saved. Before you repent and get right with God, wait till you've really lived. You know what really living is doing to our people? It's killing them. It's killing them. Drugs and alcohol are killing our people. They're killing them because the devil's offering them a good time. Let me tell you, there is no good time to be held like knowing that you've been saved by the grace of God. So while they sing one last verse, then I'll make this for the church as well as those that are lost. You've been offering up excuses. It's time that we put them behind us. Let's fill up the house of the Lord, that we might get our people in and get them saved before it's too late. One last verse. Follow your heart today. God won't give you an excuse. Today is the day of salvation, saith the Lord. God won't give you an excuse. He said, my spirit will not always strive with men. God gives you the facts. The devil gives you an excuse. Follow your heart this morning. Sing it, church. I must tell Jesus. No more excuses. No more. Yes. Burdens alone. Amen and amen. I tell you, as I was bringing this message this morning, I thought the excuse that probably the number one excuse that has been mine in recent weeks is I'm just too tired. Anybody else got that excuse? Just too tired. Just don't have the energy. But you let something come along that we want to do. It's almost like Zoe. She couldn't eat her meal because she was full. But as soon as she found out there was some dessert, she was ready. You know, that's how we are. Even from young ages, we find excuses to make along the journey. Today, I pray that you don't make excuses too long. For those that are lost, and for those that are saved today, you're talking about a good life. When you follow God and you quit making excuses, you'll find joy, and you'll be on the mountain rejoicing because you didn't make an excuse. Sometimes people say, well, there's been enough singing. God gave you a song, you better sing it. You say there's been too many prayer requests. You ought to thank God we still have a church that takes prayer requests. Because many of them have done away with it because it makes the service too long. An excuse. Because some of them watch the clock and say, I eat at a certain time. I wonder if they eat at that certain time during the week. Or is it just on Sunday? They want to get there before the restaurant gets too full. Right? Or the preacher just getting all over my last nerve. You know what I say to that? Repent. And he won't get on your last nerve. And remember, it's not my word, it's God's word. So you take it up with him today. Be careful out there. We don't know what the weather is. Yes. No. Well, I seen the salt trucks out as we was coming to church. And on my way back home, if it's slick and those trucks are still out, I'm going to call Ron and Terry, and I'm going to say, what's it like in your area? And we'll make a decision from there. Yeah. And that's not an excuse. I think God gives us common sense. Right? God gave you a mind. Use it. Right? He wants us to use it. And yeah. But we don't know what it is out there. We don't know what's coming. And you can't listen to the weather, men. That's for sure. Amen.
There is some snow on
the ramp. Okay. Snow. The ramp has got snow on it. On all the steps. Be careful. Be safe. And we will make a call to Ron and Terry and let the deacons tell us what's going on over here, all right? God bless you today.